Good morning, family. A warm welcome from Worcester and the guys over there. Thank you to the girls who accompanied me this morning. Three of my friends, I asked, please come with me. I don't want to go alone again. So I brought a bit of Worcester for you today. Yeah, lekker. It was very cold in our valley yesterday, but apparently here with you as well. So if you are cold this morning, you need to skuif nader aan die een langs jou, shift up, hold a hand, yes. So, yeah, I'm just so thankful. While we were worshiping, I thought to myself, we had beautiful, intimate, and sweet moments in worship the last couple of Sundays in Worcester, but it did not sound the same as here. It's different. And many times when I go to another congregation or another church, yeah, I can make it my sin, but sometimes it happens to all of us. You're very critical, like, no, I don't like that. Like, you have a shofar blowing, like, we're not used to that, for example. God just said to me, isn't it beautiful that you can worship me in different ways? My presence is bigger than your box and how you want to experience the Lord. It's greater than that. So I'm just reminded again of the lack of flavor that we have in the Lord's house. And it's different from town to town and congregation to congregation. And if our hearts are open and clean for the Lord, He sees it and He works with us. Isn't it precious, eh? So, sure, church has already been quite some time. I'm like, okay, Lord, help me to speak fast and to get through this. So stay with me. It's in English. It's my second language. So I hope that the tongue stays with me today. But I believe it is a word that I shared with our congregation. But yeah, I really believe that God wants to bless you with this as well. I'm going to start with my first line. It's my cannonball story. I can't remember if I shared it with you last time that I was here last year. It's a big thing in my life. I feel like I am a cannonball inside a cannon. I don't know if I shared this. And I'm waiting for someone to lit me because I just want to go. Have I shared that with you? Can't remember now. Okay. So a big part of my life the last couple of years, I felt stuck. I'm loaded, man. I'm loaded. The cannon is loaded. And typically in Alida fashion, I've got quite a big personality. So it's not like a pistol. It's like a cannon. All right. So the ball is in and I'm like, Lord, just shoot me, man. Shoot me. I want to go and do great things for you. And also typically my personality, I want to see it from on high. Yes, Lord. Wind in my hair. And the more I'm waiting in this cannon, nobody is litting the fuse, man. I'm just going absolutely nowhere. And I get frustrated, Lord. When is it my turn? When can I go? When do they choose me, God? Oh, man, they choose somebody else again. I want to. Yes, please, Lord, I want to do this for you. So that was, it's kind of, an especially in my quiet time, when I write the journals and I look back at last year, the year before, the year before that, the year before that, I'm like, oh, I'm just going nowhere. That is what it feels like for me. So I'm like, Lord, we've been in ministry now. I think it's Rick's 20th year in ministry. Obviously, because I married him, you're part of it, but not like in it. But then I was in it for like, let's say the last 10 years. So I'm like, Lord, we chose ministry. Lord, we already laid down our lives. Lord, we laid down this. Lord, I chose to go everywhere, even to Worcester. Come on, Lord, really. I'm like, I've done it all. I've sacrificed it all. Can you just lit the fuse? All right, so you're now with me. Okay. So now I'm like, okay, I'm not going. So I'm like, Lord, what is it? What am I waiting for different circumstances? Because then you start like to think, okay, something is wrong in my circumstance. I must change something. Because this ball needs to go. Lord, okay, I'm just praying like a new season, a new season. Give me a new season, a new season. Please, Lord, give me money. Now it's money. We don't have enough money. I have to work. I have to make a new job. So you will, yeah, I'm always busy somewhere trying to get more money. Maybe selling this, doing this. God, if only I can have more money, then I'm going to go. Lord, open door. Open door. Give me an open door. I can see some of you can relate with me. Oh, God, can somebody just please see me? Somebody, oh, can you just pick me? Pick me. I'm very honest with you. This is what I see myself like. Can somebody just pick me? So you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And I believe this is the word for us today. Because in my waiting and in my being, just a child of God. Yes, throwing my toys out of the cot at times, feeling very sorry for myself, going through a lot of emotions. Those who know me closer, what you see is what you get. I tell you straightforward how I feel. I cry often, probably most of the time in my life. See, I can't even preach without tissues. Look, yeah, I have to bring them with. But as I am in this place, I experience that God is making me a scholar of the things of Him. And I want to move forward, but God is just shifting me sideways. No, Alida, now I'm going to teach you this. Okay, now I'm going to teach you this. And I want to go forward, and the Lord says, you're not ready. I'm going to teach you something else. And the word for today is, these are just a few things that I pick up God wants to teach me in my season of waiting. Because I believe the Lord is using this frustration and this waiting. I don't know for what. For my plan, I'll get to that, my plan. He's using it to prepare me for what He wants to do in my life. So I think the biggest thing for me in seeing this picture of me in the canon is my plan is not coming to fruition. My idea of what I want to do with my talents and my gift set and my strengths, and I believe X, Y, and Z should happen in my life. And I know the Lord loves me, and I know I can do it. Sometimes I think I can do it without Him, all of that. Okay, it's my plan. But the difference between my plan going forward and being shot out of a cannon like amazing and the Lord's plan is different. All right, so that's what I want to share with you about. God is interested in my character. He is interested in shaping me. He is interested in enjoying the whole process. Crying, kicking, shouting. He's loving me. He just wants to draw me closer. Now, I have a big respect for people who exercise often and who is very like, who's got muscles and stuff like that. Last year we had the Rugby World Cup. If you're not a rugby lover, maybe you will not know the bomb squad. We had a bomb squad. Everybody excited in the country. The 7-1 split. Then the bomb squad comes up. It's these huge guys. There was somebody in our church who did not know who the bomb squad was. Anybody else? You can, don't be shy. Do you know what the bomb squad is? There's somebody, niemand weet. Weet ie, rarig. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Rarig. So the bomb squad, we would play rugby in the World Cup, and then we will dominate with our forwards because we are South Africa. We are very big boys. And if we lack anything else, we just crush them in front. That's our game plan in Alida's very short version. So then these guys, they go out flat out. It's the forward. It's the big groot ouens, very muscled scrum guys. Then they take them off for them to rest, and then the bomb squad comes up. Brand new, big, bulky, and then we scrum them until we win the World Cup. That's actually what happened. All right. So, but if I see them, I have a waardering for the time in the gym and the discipline and the sweat and the tears that went into building those different muscles. I've shared with some of you before, in this season of waiting for me, where I can't really see how things are going forward for me, I tell them, it feels as if I'm in a scrum. And we are scrumming and scrumming and scrumming and scrumming, but we never get they scrum and they go all the way over the try line and they fall on the ball and it's a try. I never get that, yeah, that release feeling. So I just feels like it's press, 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 just the whole time. And I said to somebody, few people, yo, the Lord has been shaping my boobiena. What is this in English? Your thighs. My thighs, I don't know for what. But whatever is coming in the next season, God is preparing me. So my next season, I don't know, it's not happened yet. So I don't really know why. All I know is I need to trust the Lord. He is shaping me. He's shaping spiritual things in me. He is developing my character for whatever He wants to do in the next one. I don't even know what. But all I know is that, and that is, I believe, one of the words for you today, that the Lord is enjoying us in this season. He's enjoying you. He's loving you. You don't have to be blown out of a cannon or fireworks in the air for Him to enjoy you. He enjoys us and He loves us at our lowest point, when we are emotional, when we don't have hope, whatever. God is still with us right there. You are still His child. He's still enjoying the journey with you. All right, so a few things that I feel God is shaping and doing in these seasons of waiting and seasons of preparation. Before I read the first thing, I want to read the scripture in Colossians 3, verse 12. It says, clothe yourself with compassion, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, and with patience. I cannot clothe myself with any of these things if I am not yoked with Jesus, because these are big things. Okay. Dis maklik nie. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. So I really need him to be in my boat and to be with me, and I need to spend intimate time with him to get these things, to ask, Lord, help me to birth these things in my life. So the first one, patience. Obviously, the Lord wants to teach me patience. My sister-in-law is clearing out the attic on the farm that I grew up. Four or five generations of our family lived there, and she's the brave one to clear the attic. You know, where everyone in the family comes to leave a box and some furniture, that's that type of attic. So I get two boxes that's still in the attic, and it's full of books and stuff of childhood and some of my diaries and letters and whatever. And I don't have a lot of time today, but I chuck out most of them. Recycle because I don't need it, and I just keep the precious things. That's nice. And all of a sudden, I just pick up one letter that my mom wrote me, and my eye fall on this one paragraph. And she said, Alida, you must remember you have a fast personality. Jy het 'n vinnige persoonlikheid. And your sister doesn't have it. So you really need to work nice with her and slower with her and be patient with her. And that was when I was a high school girl, she wrote that letter to me. I'm like, ay, ay, ay. It's still the same today. I still have that fast personality. I still struggle to work with her. It is a challenge for me because everything I need to do softer and slower. If we're on holiday together, I'm that one saying, right, we go for a ride, get in the buggy, we go. And everybody else is like, but where? No, I don't know. Just get in. 2 minutes, then I go. And then I leave in 2 minutes. If you're not in, you're not in. I don't know where to. I'm going. I don't know if I have all the gear I need to have. I just go. That is typically me. Where some other people just want to think about it a bit more and just give me some time because I need to change now and I have something new. I'm not like that. So patience is really the one life thing that the Lord is teaching me. It doesn't come naturally. I'm thinking of Joseph in the Bible. Yo, that guy, God put him through stuff to teach him patience. As a young son, he already had dreams of things that he believed God wants to do in his life. Things bowing before him. He's already his dad's favorite boy. Lackers, they're in a lacquer family. And then they go from the pit to the foreign country, Egypt, wrongfully accused to the prison. And it's years that he had to wait for those dreams to come to life. And Joseph was a human like you and me. And God used difficult places for him to teach him patience, to wait, to stir his faith again and again. Another man I'm thinking about in the Bible is Abraham. Abraham, God said, this is the descendants you're going to have. And please just pack up all your things and move to the country that I will show you. That doesn't work for me with a fast personality. Like, hello? Which I will show you. Okay, I'm moving, Lord. I'm moving. Don't know where. Abram, just to have patience and faith that God spoke and God will do what he has to do. Wait for his son to come. Wait. Month after month, a wife not being pregnant, having to wait. Wait for the promise. Teaching him patience. The second one God is teaching me is compassion. The Afrikaans is mooi, it is deernis. Deernis met mense, to have compassion with people, to have a heart for people who go through tough times. I had a very much easier childhood than most people. So my childhood was wonderful. So some people, if I look around, the kids in my kids' classes, the heartache that they have to face every day. It's tough. It is shaping something in them. I missed that as a child, so I think God is fast-tracking me on that route currently. But it's to feel it, to experience it, and to be able to hug somebody else without words, but to know. It's that compassion that you have for those around you. Your guys, life slaps us, eh? And sometimes it's 1, 2, 3 slaps in a row. Maybe it's tough. And I must allow the Lord to show me that so that I can also pick it up in other people. And so that I can have compassion in that moment. Especially when they can't move as fast as I want to move. But I'm just moving in my head, hey? Because the cannon is not lit. Just remember that. Faith. Because I went through so many disappointments, the one after the other after the other, I lost my faith. I loved the Lord when I was a very young girl. When I went through all these diaries and these books again that I got from the attic, I realized I was in love with Jesus from a very small age. I was never angry at Him, never. And a couple of years ago, it was the hard realization that hit me. I'm angry at the Lord because I'm just so disappointed. I lost my faith. And that was a big moment for me where I can face it and say, Lord, it's obviously not You, but it feels like it's You, and I am angry at You. And then I was honest, and I could get it all out, and then after a week or so, I realized, okay, God is perfect. So it was obviously not His plan. He's obviously busy with something. But that whole process of disappointment, I lost my faith. I want to read, in Afrikaans, Salome said, ek het my gat gesien, because you cannot go through life without the Lord. I really fell flat on my face. And I read to say, Lord, I'm so sorry that I'm so frustrated with my plan. I open up again to You, Lord. What do You want for me? I'm very sorry. I don't think you can say such a word in a church. But it is out now. Okay. James 1 verse 3, I want to read to you. I love the book of James. It correlates with my personality. It's right or wrong, and that's just how it is. Okay. James 1 verse 3. Because you know that the testing of your faith, what is your test of faith currently? Because that will produce perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I do work with parents often. I'm involved with schools. And the biggest cry of my heart out to people is just grow up for adults, né? Adults, not the kids. How can we expect them to grow up if we can't grow up? So, but the word says it's faith. It's the testing of your faith, because that will teach you perseverance. Deursettingsvermoë. Oh, deursettingsvermoë. Our kids, they do not have that. Do we have that? I hear a girl playing in our yard just this week. They are playing hide and seek. And she says to you, Bear, my boy, she's like, hide and seek, it's difficult to play. I don't want to play it anymore. Hide and seek, I kid you not. So if it's difficult, then I just don't want to play it anymore. But that is the attitude. It's tough. I don't want to do this anymore. This marriage is tough. I'm going to move on. Because this twins we had, I can't do twins. It's tough. I'm going to walk out. We don't have that pressing through. God, You're not coming through for me. You're not coming through for me. You're not coming through for me. I am leaving You. Perseverance. That's the other thing God is teaching me. To stay the course. Om jou kop neer te sit en te druk in die skram. Even if you don't get the try, but to keep going in and press and press and press. It did not promise us that life would be easy. The times that I taste the Lord and how I experience His comfort and His love in that scrum while I'm pressing. It is those oil moments. This is just wishy-washy. It's not like a wind. It's like oil. It's, but it's real. And I cannot deny His presence in that moment. I cannot. The other days, my brother told me the Lord healed him of a heart defect. And he said, sis, it doesn't matter where I am. I had that moment with the Lord. I know that He is real. And for me, it's those moments in that scrum where I cannot deny that the Lord is real. Your circumstance, you know. Okay, but I'm on perseverance. Perseverance in the Bible, I love the story of Daniel. Young boy taken from his home, foreign country. He just persevered in serving the Lord, in praying to the Lord. He got slaps from all sides. People don't like him, accuse him, set him up with the highest laws so that he can fall. He just stayed the course. I think of Paul, who was Paul and the disciples, ridiculed, stoned. Everywhere opposition came. Hulle was nie die grootste flavor nie. They weren't the fashion of the era. They weren't the believers were excited because something was happening. But the moment they started to talk about the gospel and the truth, people were like, oh, crazy, jail. Lots of them jail. And obviously terrible deaths that some of them had. Perseverance. Another thing is obviously humility. Now, when I was younger, I can remember people used to preach to us, don't ask the Lord to make you humble because He will. And that's terrible. Okay, so C.S. Lewis, a great writer, obviously, that we all love and adore, he wrote, Man is never so proud as when striking a pose of humility. We are just human, and that moment where you think, yeah, now I got it, that's the moment where you stand in your pride and your trots. It's something that we struggle with. There's a song, I can just remember this one line. It says, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. Do you know that? It's the only line I know. It is hard to learn humility, to bow your knee the whole time, to let go of your plans, to serve those around you. If the selfish leader is calling, can somebody just see me for a change? And God is saying, just serve the people. Serve your family, serve this, serve that. No, sorry, you can't go away on that retreat. Sorry, you cannot have DSTV. I want you to use that to serve that one, to serve that people. I want you to go to your mom, sort out a house. The moment you go in there, everything slows because it's hard work and a lot of work. It's just a joke, okay. But that humility, that place of humility, I can make jokes about this now, but that is the heart that the Lord wants of us, a humble heart. Take the crown off your head, off your plan, and put it at His feet and say, yours before anything else, God. The last one, God uses these seasons of preparing and waiting for me to teach me to hold my tongue. I'm a quick speaker, and my personality, it reacts quickly, so I will work through something, I will process while I talk. So many times, I will freak people out, especially my husband, because we work together, and he freaks me also out, but then I realized, we're processing, all right? But what I see out there is people react very quickly, that we react emotionally, instead of waiting, taking it to the Lord, and then respond. But that takes time, and that takes a bit of hard work. So where do we react? I'm sorry if you still love social media, but your guys, the fights on social media, it's reaction. The quick WhatsApp you send after you got the news, it's too fast. It's emotional. You put all your emotions in that. Take all of that you feel, the disappointment, the whatever that happens, write it down. But just leave it there. Don't send it yet. Make it known to the Lord. God, this is what I feel. This is the raw emotions that I, as a human, are feeling currently. Lord, I don't know what to do with it. Please don't put it on social media yet. Please don't send it to your mother-in-law yet. Please don't send it to your boss yet. Just wait. Take it to God. Sit with it. Lord, what is the wise thing for me to do in that? So we react instead of reflect. And respond then after we've been with the Lord. God wants to trust you and me with bigger platforms. But can He trust us? Can He trust that we... bigger platforms in my little life is very small. Some of you have huge responsibilities in a workplace, in writing the law of our country. We are very quick to criticize the politicians in our country and where they're taking us. But are we any better? Can God trust us with big things? One of the things I really hope that we get to teach our children is that if I ask them to keep something in the house or for themselves, this is just for us guys, that they will actually just keep it for themselves. Not like it's almost like a secret, but this is our business. Not everybody needs to know it. Okay, we're not supposed to tell anybody, but did you hear? And we're all in the same church, so it's all right. It's not all right. If somebody told me something in confidence, it's not all right for me to share it even with a sister in Christ. I get very cross when I hear these things. Like, how do you know? You're not supposed... How do you know this? Nobody is supposed to know this. Can the Lord trust us with bigger things? Kan ons tong beheer, wag voor ons mond sit. So that is what God is working with me in these times. And then the same thing within our mouth. This is a difficult one. How do we speak the truth in love? So we struggle... In the church, I don't even have to look any wider. Jesus is with us in this thing, and yet we struggle to speak the truth. We struggle to, how does that look now? So how do I not come across as judgmental or as critical? But this really is the truth. How do we address young girls in our congregation that they should wear better clothes? Hot topic, nobody wants to speak on it. We don't live close to Stellenbosch, but I hear that it's crazy over there because it's just student girls and they're just wearing what they want to wear. And the other day we had such a good laugh. We were driving through Stellenbosch. I said to Rick, this is hectic. These precious, beautiful girls just missing it. And then I said to him, look at the guys. And Rick said, the fashion did not change in 30 years. But how do we speak the truth? How do I tell my friend the truth? I see a blind spot in your marriage. Are you aware of that? I want to pray with you with that. We're not good with that because we don't practice that, because it's like, no, that's conflicty things and we don't want to have anything to do with that. God wants to be in this with us. He wants to teach us, how do you speak the truth in love? One of our friends the other day said to me, Alida, you should stop fighting with everybody. I'm like, I'm very sorry, I cannot. If nobody else is speaking up, I need to check my heart. Is it in love? But somebody needs to say, guys, this is wrong. So everywhere I go, I stir a pot. I'm sorry. I'm just like, how long have you been doing that? Guys, is it working for you? Is it working for everybody? I don't think that is right. How can we fix it? Okay, it's a different thing that's wrong. Fix it. Cheers. Why are you doing that? I don't want to be a part of that. That's a different attitude. But to have the right attitude, so that we can speak and stand up. So while we wait, this is the questions. In this space that you are, these are just a few things the Lord is teaching me in those times. There can be many more. I know that. It's just a few that I highlighted for you. In this time, in my frustration, where God is just shifting me left and right, Alida, I want you to teach you just to be a good mom. Put your kids first. All your ambition aside. Then I think I got it. Submit to your husband. Oh, I'm like, yes, Lord, I just, okay, yeah. Good, submit to my husband. What does that look like? Okay, shucks, shucks, shucks. Okay, didn't know. Okay, Alida, I want you to give somebody else that turn. Okay. A lady came up to me once after a service. She said to me, I feel this is my calling. Can you please pray for me? It was exactly my plan for my life. Like, exactly what I wanted. I'm like, Lord, they are like, It was at a big Awakens conference. There were many people in front who can pray for you, like many. I'm like, Lord, in that moment, I choose, even if nothing of this ever happens for me, I'm going to put my faith out that you do it for her. Something inside you die because it's your dream, man. Now God's saying, pray it over somebody else. I want to do it for her, not for you. But what is the omgeving van your heart? What's happening in your heart when God asks you to do stuff like that? I'm off my story. So I'm still waiting. I'm waiting, according to me. It's a waiting for me. Am I open to correction from the Word of God? Am I open to correction from my husband, from my partner, from friends, from a sister or a mother-in-law or a good friend? Are we open to correction? Most of us, we just get offended. Am I right? Woo! I'm married to a pastor. Then we get people, we get them in, and in love, we really do it in love. We want to correct them. Yo, are we open? You will not tell me what to do. Obviously, there's something of an inner circle and an outer circle. I get all of that. People that's in my circle that I know can speak into my life. Am I open that they can correct me? Oh, husband and wife, it's the most difficult. So I need to like, oh, don't say anything. Then Rick will say, why are you so quiet? I'm like, I can't speak now. I want you to say something. I need to keep my tongue now. And I said to him, I'll get back to you. Just give me a day. I'll get back to you. Because it's correction. What do we do with that? And I don't want to just flare up. Maybe you're also like that. But me and my husband, we can be like petrol and fire. We know one another's buttons. So we can make a bomb very quickly. Yeah? And I like to debate, and I like it. So then I have to, like, keep the matches. Just keep the matches. Don't throw it. Take it to the Lord first. And we've had so many beautiful victories the last couple of years where things could have gone out of hand, but they didn't. So thankful for Him. Are we open to correction? Are we open to change? Our humans, we do not like change. We don't like to change our behavior, the towns that we stay in, we don't want to move. I don't want to do things different. I don't want to try something else. But are we open? If God wants us to change because He wants to use you or do something else, are we open to it? Things like, I will never move again. I will never live in Worcester. I will never live in Paul. Those are all things that came out of my mouth. Yo, lekker. We lived in Paul, Stellenbosch, and Worcester. Are we open to God's plan, even if it costs you your plan? Ooh, these deep heart things, Lord, I promise I lay it down. 3 days later, you've picked it up. Check your heart the whole time. I lay it down again, Lord. This is my dream, God. I lay it down again. Bring it into my heart if it's yours. Otherwise, I need to put it there and keep it there, Lord. Your plan. What is your plan for me? The other day, a girl tells me, when she was 21, the thing that the Lord called her for was not even established in the world. So she didn't even, there was nothing even to see what God wants to do in her life. All she knew is that she must just do what's in front of her. Oh, I need to go faster. Okay. Are we open to give to the Lord that which is precious to us? Are we ready to be used in whatever way? Because sometimes we say, I'll go there, but I'm not going there. I will work with her, but not with her. Are we willing to lay down our lives? Are we willing to love Him? Are we willing to just enjoy who Jesus is, even if we don't get our way? Many times, our idea of what God has called us and His plan for our life is not necessarily wrong. Most of the time, it's just the timing that's wrong, because God is still busy shaping you and preparing you in your ways for what He has called you to do. Two things just to watch out for, just if you take notes, write down. Watch out for your own ego and watch out for your comfort, because those are things that stand in your way of doing what God wants us to do. Do what is in front of you currently. If you're like, yeah, but where does that leave me? What is the hands that you are dealt with currently? Wat die kaart in jou hand? Speel die hand. Play that hand. What do you have? I only have this. Currently I'm working with 13-year-old girls. There's Muslim and Hindu in there. It's not my plan. I have different plans. My dreams are kind of different. But the Lord, this is the hand that I currently have. 13, they've not grown up with even values of a Christian home. They're all over the show. God wants me to love them. He wants me to be interested in their lives. The other day they told me about madrasa. I didn't know something like that exists. I'm like, yo, I want to come visit. I want to see what they're teaching you here. And I hope that I can share with them life, light, Jesus. The difference between the two. What is in your hand currently? Are you just cleaning? Say, yes, Lord, this is not really my plan for my life, but I'm cleaning. I'm cleaning a school hall every weekend for church to happen. Yes, every now and again I'm like, if I have to scrub another toilet, I'm going to yell. I'm the pastor's wife, Lord, please. This is the cards that I'm dealt with, and I need to play that hand as best as I can with a good heart, loving the Lord, serving Him, whatever that entails. Examples out of the Bible that I enjoy, people doing very plain things, just simple life. Can we just do simple life good? Né? David was watching sheep. Young boy in the field, exposed to the elements, nothing special. He was just a shepherd boy. And one day, he did not show up. God showed up. And he was pulled from the field. And he was put on his course to become king. Beautiful for me, just an example of cards. Play the cards in front of you. Paul was in prison. Now, I don't know how I feel if I would land in prison. But the first thing Paul did when he went to prison is he worshipped. They were not the people he wanted to share the gospel with, so he just shared it with the inmates, the people around him. I'm going to read this sticky to you. It's in Acts 16, verse 23. This is what they went through. So after they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks, nowhere to go. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Guys, they were in a prison, feet were bound, it was probably cold, they were probably hungry, maybe it was like 10 years of urination around them. Make it worse, it's bad, it's a prison. But they were singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake. They did not know the earthquake was going to come and God is going to come through for them. They just decided to play the hand that they have. Worship the Lord in that. Do what they need to do. And that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and every chain came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. En al gaat moeilikheid kom vir hom. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here," and they ministered to him. Terrible circumstances. He just played his cards. The disciples Guys, they were fishers. They were mending nets. They were fishing. That's all they were doing. And one day, Jesus called them. One day, and changed their worlds. Matthew 4, verse 18. You see my fast personality. I have to rush. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Three words. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. Weird thing to say for somebody that didn't know. At once, they left their nets and followed him. They must have sensed something in this guy to be obedient to his voice. That same thing that we feel. Like, Lord, speak to me. I'm looking for you, God. Direct my steps each day. I wake up the last year, and I'm like, God, today is your day. I don't know how you're going to use me, but use me. Then you walk around in the day like most of us today, we do like our shopping and we do our things and we go do like this. Just don't disturb me, please. Ooh, God, don't speak to me. No. We just do our little block, hey? But if we are open to say, Lord, use me in whatever way. Give me a card, Lord. Give me a card. Put one in here. We open the door for the Lord to do great things through us. And it tests our obedience because, oh, this is a bit difficult. Oh, this is a bit out of my comfort zone. I don't mind praying, but there are so many people watching. It's tough for us. But those are the things that the Lord wants to do us, so we need to be open to that. Okay. The last example. Oh, so beautiful. Just doing everyday life was little Rebecca. She was a young girl. And she was just going about her way. And Abram sent his servant to the country of Rebekah to go find a wife for his beloved boy, which he waited for so long. And Rebekah found this servant with all of the camels, with all of the presents and the riches that Abram is sending to this new wife's family. And he was thirsty, and she gave him water. He didn't ask. She asked, can I water all your camels? There's a huge werk. It's not one, and they don't drink like out of a little cup to water all those camels. It's a lot. But she had a heart of service and a heart of humility. Yo, this is a big task, but can I do it for you? To a stranger in her country. She didn't know that her destiny was opening up before her, because the servant saw, wow, this is the woman. And she was pulled into history by serving water to dusty camels. I'm not really a dog lover. Camel, dog, so it's the same, like drool. Blah. Anyway, she served them. Sorry to all the dog lovers. There is flaws in my character as well. I don't like dogs. Genesis 24, I'm not going to read the scripture, but if you want to read it, Genesis 24, 16 to 20, it's the story of Rebecca, just watering those camels. What I feel that God wants to tell you through this, it's beautiful, it's a bit different than what I felt God wants to tell the people in Worcester. I believe that God is saying to you this morning, I am not done with your story yet. If you feel stuck, if you feel like what I explained to you in front, God is not done writing your story yet. Some of us need to hand him the pen back. Some of us need to say, yes, Lord, I again choose whatever you have for me. I put my strong personality, my ways, my dreams, Lord, and I lay it aside, whatever you want to do. If I have to compare my dreams when I was a 30-year-old to the things that I have today, it is different. As you see Christ and as you are open for him to change your heart, things of old, they pass away. For example, I wanted to go to the Olympics, for example. Now, if you know me, like it's like, nice dream, Alida. It's not going to happen, eh? But nobody told me that when I was 16 years old. That was my dream. So things change. As the more you open to the Lord, he will put his dreams, and that is really my heart's desire. A book that really helped me was Hind's Feet on High Places. To understand the journey that the Lord wants to walk with me, and it's many times 3 steps forward, 100 steps back. And 2 steps forward. And that really helped me to see a picture of how this thing actually works. So if you feel like me, you're so frustrated, you're disappointed, you just also struggle in this journey. That's really something that helped me, Hind's Feet in High Places. Another book that really helped me in this time is The Choice. It's also written by a woman. She's a psychologist, was a psychologist. I think she already passed. But she was also in the concentration camps. Just her story and some of the things behind that. That's just my little bit. But no book, no coffee date, no weekend away can come close to the word of the Lord and to His presence in your daily walk and what that means to you as you wait and wait and wait while the Lord is preparing you. No YouTube sermon, no somebody else's interpretation of the word is as precious as this word of the Lord and your time that you spend with Him. I cannot put enough exclamation marks there. The last scripture I want to leave with you is Jeremiah 31, verse 25. I will refresh the weary and I will satisfy the faint. I feel that is for somebody here. You feel weary and you feel faint. Jeremiah 31, 25, I want to give to you. I brought a song with me today. Very interesting. It's also a psalm. It's not 23, it's Psalm 30. It is, and I want you just to sit right where you are. The words are beautiful because it says over and over, Lord, my soul waits for you. My soul waits for you. I long for you. And I just believe that God wants to meet you right there where you're at. Whether you're waiting, maybe some of you, God has let you. You're going, man. I want to say to you, yay, go for it. And if you are still here, just to say, Lord, I want to wait for you. I wait for you to do what you want to do in my life. Work with me. Help me to play this hand that you've put in front of me. This is not the cards I want to be dealt with, but this is the cards that I have. And to make the most of what I have now. So will you please close with me your eyes? You can put that song on for us. I want you to pray by yourself to God, alone, and make some time just to talk to Him. Father, we want to seek you, Lord. Lift our eyes to you. Lock eyes with you, Lord. You know exactly where all we are, Lord. Father, together with this congregation, we want to bow our knee this morning and say again, Lord, have your way. Help us, Father, to lay down, to take our crowns off and to lay our plans down, Lord, for the sake of your name and your glory and your plan. Thank you, God. No matter the season, Lord, no matter the severity, Lord, no matter the disappointment or the pain, that nothing can separate us from you, Lord. You are there right in it all with us this morning. You know, you feel, you see right there, Lord. We choose this morning again to say, we wait upon the Lord and upon your voice and your peace and your comfort alone. Your correction, your direction, Lord, we wait for you. In Jesus' name, amen.